Okay, folks, we're back, and all right. Well, we're going to have, it's time to hear the Pisser Possum, the wonderful Pisser Possum. Well, hey, Pisser, it ain't very nice to bash your kin, you know, bash your bastard kin. All right, Pisser, you're up. What you got to say? It's the Pisser Possum. Him Chewbacca. All right, Mister. Mister's hilarious here. I mean, poor little sympathetic bludgeon doesn't have anything intelligent to say. So you give it its chance, and what it does is it replays back Same old stupid crap here. Sounding like Chewbacca here. Well, what to say? I mean, heck. Thanks to Visser's maliciousness, get me IP banned. You go ahead and you give the pisser possum a chance to say something intelligent, or even not intelligent, or even honest, or even to lie like it usually does. I mean, that was, I guess, as good as Visser could do. At least Visser didn't lie to me this time, like he usually does. I did manage to, I had to go through about a couple cycles, because I had to go through a Tor browser. Now, the previous one was in German. Someone asked me, this audio clip, Mike DeLay says, he served prison time. I might get around to playing that here. I just wasted your airtime. This is Talk Show, Visser. Heck, we got about, 5 hours? I mean, you give a Sephardic Melungeon a microphone and, well, at least he gets off a pisser possum net for her. A couple minutes here. You gotta wonder about Visser's little pisser possums. I mean, heck. I bet old Bridget the Idiot, she squeezes out a bunch of these little bastards. I mean, does she ever worry that... Well, I mean, I guess you can't worry too much. I mean, heck, any white boy isn't likely to go ahead and do anything that the old Visser hasn't been doing. And at least here, she might squeeze out a higher yellow here, as opposed to what Visser's likely to give her. But in any case, do they ever wonder, and worry that, heck, if they're running around pretend to be Christian identity, that she's running around with somebody who takes race seriously? I mean, what's the likelihood to happen here? Sort of like what might happen to Obagender Bender when Obagender Bender is running around pretending to be some Whigger's girlfriend. I mean, heck, he might go ahead and do some fag stomping here on Obagender Bender, who just wants some love. Well, same way with the pisser possums here. They want to pretend to be white, but they're not. What to do about them? Okay? Anyway, Pico Song. Well, let's see. Chuck Van Wadi hates Magic Jack. Well, who cares? Okay? Let's see. Visser, if you want to go ahead and play like you're mean, that's fine. We'll see if you end up having Mo Gullet. We'll see if you end up having Sci-Fi Faber on. Don't really matter. I mean, most of the time, these people find out. Sci-Fi Faber actually thought that I was conspiring with Visser to essentially fool him, but actually Visser put in Sci-Fi's little head here that they were going to somehow kick me out and get Eli James to rule this little ecclesiastical council here that he keeps on appealing to. Now, the problem is that Eli James has been kicked out of every clan group. They finally decide, just look at what their eyes tell them and their nose tells them, and they look at him and they finally figure out he's a Jew boy, and then they kick his ass out. So he's sort of vague here. Same way with, Visser here. They figure out he's a Sephardic Jew boy and, red nigger Jew boy, and they kick his ass out too here. So, pretty well, Visser and Eli James have a problem that people look at and figure out the other Sephardic Jew boys. Now the problem, the Ashkenazi Jews have a little bit better, a little bit better chance here because, they at least look quieter than the Sephardics. The Sephardics are sort of short and dark here, because they got a lot of Arab and Canaanite blood in them. You know what I mean? Less of the Amorite and more of the, the Ashkenazi of the problem is that they have also left less of the Amorite and more of the Hittite as well here. Okay? So, let's see. Stop speaking for other folks' sake. Well, this or you're a mamzer. I mean, and you're calling me a fake? Anyway, like Marty Chomo and, you know. Well, I mean, generally I'm quite sure if you're making little felonious mamzer, you know, piss or possum eat its nuts here because of what daddy did here. You can have Visser tell the truth. I mean, sometimes Visser will go ahead and tell the truth here. I just listened to Visser's lies here. I was hoping to have Visser actually call in and tell the truth here. But instead, he decided to go ahead and play his little Chewbacca horse shit here. Now, I remember back, you know, back in the day here, in December of 2010, poor old Visser, he was with Red Nigger Mama in Georgia. And old Bridget the Idiot was up in South Bend, Washington. And then she was being humped, you know, by this beer barrel Jew named Junestain. Old Junestain, was trying to go ahead and start. I mean, you had Apocalypse, they all ponied up $100 to buy them a V-Bulletin license. And, you know, for what, $280? And then $120 for a year server on Bluehost. And so they all pocketed $100. APOC and Gelded, Jaybird, and economically, you know, inviable, although I called him genetically infeasible because he was being like APOC too. And pretty well old Stephen Brower, a.k.a. Ungilded, was so proud that he decided to put his name on there. And old Kane went ahead and found out his name was Stephen Brower. He lived in Los Angeles. And that came back to bite old Ungilded. Ungilded, he wanted to be a vicious little kike, but a vicious little Greek shit-skinned mamzer faggot. But what happens is he also wanted to work as vice president for this small record company run by Jews and play in the silent majority with niggers and beaners, and they weren't amused. They were not amused to see old Steven playing Nazi and screaming about Jews and niggers afterwards, so he's probably getting his faggot ass pounded here in a way he didn't like. So he went whining to Kane, and Kane was kind enough to sort of hide the post here, but he knew better than even ask me here. Same way with Fink. I mean, I spy on Fink. I spy on Visser. I spy on Obagenderbender, although it's a little bit harder to spy on Obagenderbender. Obagenderbender is Visser's brain, and Obagenderbender does data mine. Visser just ain't very smart here, so as a result, you're able to insinuate some sock puppets onto his forum. Okay? So, any case. Nah, I didn't play it here. Dembski, if you want to call in, you can go ahead and call in. I'm sort of sitting back here. Visser had his chance here. I hear that Visser is making a hard time about how you supposedly admitted you were little Malachi and that you pulled a fast one on me or something like that. At least that's what Visser said. But on the intro to this show, essentially it seems like Dembski and Visser are going ass to mouth here. So heck, Dembski, if you want to call in and talk about it, that's fine. I'm sort of interested in your show here. I don't give a crap whether Fucked Up Chuck hates Magic Jack or not. I mean, Fucked Up Chuck hates a number of things. Yeah, I don't even know. I think you don't like me for some reason. I don't know why. I mean, I always thought Fucked Up Chuck was just simply a mental case. He's too cowardly to do anything criminal, so he probably won't end up being where he can be watched over or medicated unless he really screws up here and some pig thinks he's going to be assaulted, in which case old Fucked Up Chuck will probably just be shot. Just a shot, fat, retarded wigger, you know, belly up here. I remember quite a few retards like that here, okay? Can you play it? I don't know, I guess. What the hell? He's too scared to leave his house. Brother Gary. Hey, dumbass, Visser. Brother Gary is from Michigan. I have no idea. I mean, I have no idea what some other mamzer here who's been pounding your ass in Florida looks like. Okay? Brother Gary, I think I clicked the thing on. It was some sort of Anglo mestizo who was a little bit lighter than Visser. But he goes ahead and posts here. Finkelstein, he knows, Pastor Gary's name here, or Elder Gary's name. He lives in Michigan. Okay? Where I chimped out on the Sheboon Truth, Well, I guess I could, Dembski. Here, I'm not going to play Chuck Van Watt, he hates Magic Jack. That's stupid. You know what I mean? Which is substantial. Yeah, Visser. I mean, during the month, you were essentially, hiding out here while old Bridget the Itch goes up to Washington and took the pisser possums, and you were scared that she wouldn't come back. She'd leave you in Georgia. You had all of what? 3 posts on your substantial forum. Yeah, Visser. Okay. 10 seconds, Marty. Alrighty. Let me see. Let me go ahead. I'm not sure if I'm able to play it. I have to play a different window. Damn it. Yeah, Visser's not really gay. He's, it's sort of a question as to whether him is Ashkenazi Melungeon buddy Brian Wright here. I mean, I'm quite sure they both pitch and catch with each other. Let me see. I wouldn't be surprised they were cellmates. Come on.
Welcome aboard, Pedevsky. Welcome, pal. Hey. Hello, Mr. News Guy. All right, you might as well get your hand on the mute button, because I have no intention of letting this baboon speak over me. You call into all these shows, and you always have to drop in the Jew in the wood pile. Well, how about the nigger who is collecting welfare like yourself, watching your goddamn pit bulls, and watching your daughter, who probably is scoffing off of welfare? The Jew isn't putting you in that position, you stupid baboon. And you sound like a man with a fucking penis.
Whoa.
You want to bring something back,
bitch?
You fucking baboon. You fucking welfare cheat.
What is it about the Jew?
Why is there always a Jew in the fucking wood pile?
Okay, well, I played some of it here. Old Dembski really got down on that nigger, didn't he? Of course, it don't really matter to me. I mean, shoot, dang it. That's a problem. Okay, there it is. Alrighty here. Marty should attack niggers like this. No, Marty should attack niggers, okay? Visser. I had enough of your Jewbacca shit here. You know what I mean? Play check now, please, here. Well, I gave 10 seconds here. Looks like Dembski really went ahead and ran wild on that nigger here. But, heck, I don't know. It's far more a problem with Jews than it is niggers. I mean, it was up to me. Niggers could go ahead and have Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi. And essentially, we leave it that here. Visser, yes, I know he hates here. Please play Chuck Now, Martin. Well, the problem is that, shoot. All right, let me see. Chuck hates Van Watty here. Where am I at? Where am I at? Alright, Chuck hates Magic Jack here. Why does Chuck hate Magic Jack?
Magic Jack sucks dick. I am really fucking sick of talking about Magic. Why don't you just stop it?
Okay. I don't know why that was so important. Okay. Entrance theme before he comes on? Again? His entrance theme. Oh, is that what Bridge of the Idiot is here? I prefer to sing, I prefer to sing my own song here, you know what I mean? Let's see here. Let me go ahead, you know, Visser's, you know, the Visser song here, let me see. Okay. Mamsers.org. Sorry. Alright, I'll play the Visser song first here. You know what I mean? The going sound Visser, sing this song, Judah, Judah. Pisser possum. The going sound Vissers. Let me see. Where is this at here?
This is sing this song, Judah, Judah. This possum stitch stands 5 lines long. Oh, the Judah day. Dog why all night, dog why all day. Dog met his dog with someone to thank. This possum turned out okay. That high yellow bridget and dumb black Dutch, Judah, Judah. This possum bell priest don't mind too much all the Judah day. Gone why all night, gone why all day. Dog man is sorry with some luncheon fag. This possum turned out okay. Got some stanky kite pecker in Judah, Judah. Come back home with this possum kin all the Judah day. Gone why all night, gone why all day. Dog bed is on with some London fact. This possum turned out all day. Wanger in Visser hole, Judah, Judah. Can't touch bottom with 3-inch pole. Oh, the Judah day. Gone why all night, gone why all day. Dog met his dog with some luncheon fag. This possum turned out okay.
Okay, well that was my Pisser Possum song here. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and unmute the Pisser Possum, and we will see. Alright, Pisser Possum, your second chance. Pisser Possum. Earth calling little Pisser Possum. Oh, well. Visser wants to play. It doesn't sound very good here. Visser, why don't you just go ahead and call in, and let's hear some, well, not new lies, but let's hear a lying Pisser Possum live, okay? You bothered to want to call in. Here's your chance, Visser, okay? But, you know, Visser, all you do is just lie and lie and lie. And it looks like I've lost a few people here. But, you know, I want to really talk about Finkelschini and Carolyn Yenta. Now, if you have something to say, you know, this will probably be your last time tonight here. You can go ahead and you can be live. It's what? 11:26 your time. All right? But, yes, I don't doubt Mike. You know, Mike Delaney is just a lying Jew. You go ahead and look at him. You look at Visser. You can tell Visser ain't white. All these non-white mongrels and Jews and the rest coming into Christian identity. Now, what I played with Finkelschini was that Finkelschini didn't believe in dual seed line. Finkelschini is he's whining about what Eli James wrote. A lot of what Eli James wrote is a lie, because Eli James is a lying Sephardic Jew. Okay? So, I mean, pretty well, I think what really pissed off Fink was to hear somebody in the movement, and the guy doesn't even know who Fink is, but he knows who I am. And he quotes, and this guy doesn't, if you're really dual seed line, you believe this. And all Fink can claim is essentially that he's not dual seed line. He doesn't believe in what dual seed line believes. Now, Visser will claim he believes in what dual seed line is, but hey, he has a problem. He's not white. He had to admit he wasn't white in order to get out of stalking charge. And every so often, Visser disappears for a month. When Bridget the Idiot goes home for 2 weeks. And probably when she leaves, she tells the pisser possum, don't cause any trouble. You stay there, you stay working at your mom's. Don't cause me any trouble to where, essentially mama urges me to simply say, what are you doing with that red nigger criminal? Pretend to be a racist. What are you doing popping out nothing more than little shit colored bastards? Why are you bothering with this loser criminal? Okay? Alright? Martin is wasting away our precious time. Well, bye-bye, Joe Bowman. At least that's party Jew. Found something else better to do here, okay? Well, that's fine. Heck, he's sort of a Kurdish Jew. I think he's sort of more closer to the Sephardics than the Ashkenazi here, anyway. So, where was I at here? I'm looking at this. You learned what? You learned 10 years ago. Yeah. Well, folks, I really probably got a little bit sidetracked here listening to Visser here. I was doing pretty good talking about Fink. And probably I need to go back with it. But, folks, I'm looking at Fink. He's admitting he's not dual seed line. He's admitting that he's been jailed before. He's pretending that he's innocent when he wasn't. He's the one who took the plea. He pled guilty. And what he used to do was, you'd ask him, what are you in prison for? Oh, I was in prison for acceding to corruption. What do you mean? Oh, somebody killed a Puerto Rican child molester, and I sort of covered it up, and that's why I was put in prison, because I covered it up. No, Fink. It was a Puerto Rican sneak thief. Now, listen to what it said a number of places, and folks, look, Fink, if you want to explain what really happened, why you took the plea bargain, why you pled guilty, what really happened, and how it differs from the New York Times, maybe you ought to do so. Eli James is right. Fink has been promising for what? Oh, let me see. Since 1996, he's been promising for the better part of 20 years to explain why he ended up in prison. And he hasn't. He's sort of like Visser, yapping and whining about slander and gossip. I was looking the other day when it was raining. I was going back to these posts from 2000 to 2002 with Clint Downey, and she pulls the same shit. She can't say that what, you know, Hengist and I found out about her is untrue or is a lie. She has to claim it's slander and gossip. It's awful to tell the truth about her, about how she was essentially just a whore who hung around and tried to, well, I guess, boss men around. Her and Maggie, you know, she said her name was Maggie Butts. She was associated with some little Whigger tard named Kelsey, who lived in Aberdeen around Tupelo, Mississippi. And she, you know, he was just a pussy whoop little dolt. And essentially, Maggie insisted that she got to preach in church. And she'd go on to where women could speak in tongues or women could prophesy. And where else should they prophesy except in congregation? And she hated Paul. She hated 1 Corinthians 14 verses 34 through 35 about women being silent in church. And I sort of seen about these South African females. They dominate their husbands. They, you know, their husbands are just little meerkats. No wonder they voted to die 20 years ago. So they follow women. But here's Clint Downey whining and pissing and moaning about slander. But she doesn't have anything to say. She doesn't have anything to disprove what, you know, Hengist found out about how she used to be married to the Washington State Klan leader named Badinsky, and she got a divorce from him, and while the divorce was clearing, they were living in Downey's parents' rental home, and therefore, under her dual seed line Christian identity belief, she was a adulteress. Didn't have a dang thing to say about the second thing I said about her is that, well, essentially, she was the sexual mascot, and Downey ran off with the whore, ran off with the sexual mascot. All she could do was try to guess which women had finked her out. For 8 days, she didn't make a single response to it. Then she clued, you know, said, "You're a slanderer, you know, Martin Lindstedt and Hengist are slanderers or gossipers. Can't there any Christian man who will do something about it?" Well, hey, Clint, you can't go ahead and censor and ban genuine white Christian identity men and they expect them to take the part of a whore and a slut who's demanded that they get banned. I mean, this character named Andy, number six of Christian nationalists. I went ahead and wrote the Christian nationalist forum has been, you know, the Holy Wars forum has been compromised. I set up my own forum. And folks, I mean, what Andy Anderson, or as I call him, Andy Blanchard Mamzer Belialson Anderson said, was the same thing that Obagenderbender said when it showed up in February of 2010. And I'd already decided, you know, I was going to dump Visser. I was going to get rid of Visser. Here is this Ashkenazi melungeon, Brian Wright, claiming that Swift and Butler are Mamzers and Visser going along with that crap. And by the way, I noticed that one of Visser's little sock possums is claiming that I claimed Swift and Butler were Mamzers. I never say such thing. It's Visser who said that. Visser let his good buddy Brian Wright say that. Visser was never concerned about the you know, about the integrity of Swift and Butler. No, he was only concerned about himself because he was a manager himself. That's the way this is. It's just simply a lying manager. He goes ahead and talks about how it's swarms of followers. Sounds just like Fink. Fink discussing mythical downloads. Thousands of them. We go over there and it says you got what? Oh, 150 downloads? 250 downloads? Well, that's about what I have on my talk show. Okay. Does it really matter? Does it really matter? This is pretty well what is going on in the movement. And I have to look at these people who claim, like this Northern Truth Teller. This lying son of a bitch whined like a pussy because I called in at John Friend's and said that, hey, Fink's a criminal. Fink's a liar. Fink doesn't know what he's talking about historically. He goes ahead and mutes me. And then what? 4 or 5 months later, Carolyn Yenta outs him and says, hey, he has a gook daughter. He has a gook Mongol daughter. And then people find out about that. No, this truth militia, essentially John Friend, they're irrelevant now. They're on talk show one night a week. And I don't know if anybody's even talking to him anymore. I don't think anybody's even paying much attention to him anymore. Newskike hasn't had a show for what? About 2-3 weeks. Now I heard that Dembski has a show. And here's Visser. Visser and Obagenderbender bitching about how I am friendly with Dembski. And it's not a matter of being friendly. I give Dembski a chance to call in and make his point. Now, sometimes Dembski wants to cause a little bit of trouble, like when he called in when Gary was in, and, well, Gary sort of found that call interesting. You know, he heard that Dembski was in anguish that he was squeezed out of a Jew pussy and therefore a Jew, and his daddy was a Jew too. And, I don't know, I've seen Jews, and they get to the age of 16 or 17, it usually hits them sometime after 13, you know, around their 16th or 17th birthday is, damn, I'm a Jew. What to do? And you know, when I was looking around, I looked at Ambassador Reports. I look at this blog about the Worldwide Church of God splinter groups, and they're pretty pathetic. I went back, and one of the very first Ambassador Reports was Bobby Fischer. Now, Bobby Fischer was a self-loathing Jew, big time. And I'm not sure if he's alive or not. I think he died a couple years ago. He was, you know, a brilliant chess player, but he was squeezed out of a Jew pussy. He's sort of like Dembski, and he hated Jews. And for a while, he hung around the Worldwide Church of God. There's another guy, Orlin Grabe, hung around some Jews called Zola. And they were Jews. They were taught that they were of the tribe of Judah, and therefore they didn't, this is the fundamentalist Christian belief is that the Jews, why, they were God's chosen people, but they killed Christ, and therefore, they pretty well lost out here, and the fundamentalist Christians believe they're going to be captured up here, so they got to let the Jews fuck shit up big time. That's why these Christian Zionists support the Jews. It ain't because they really like them as Jews here. They're just hoping that the Jews will go ahead and fuck shit up so they'll be captured up on Cloud 666 so where they can watch, the niggers and the heathens and the wiggers all kill one another, and they're looking down on Cloud 666 here. You know, they want to go to heaven, they just don't want to die. But, they got to go ahead and let the Christ-killing Jews have their way so they'll fuck shit up. Well, anyway, Bobby Fischer went and, you know, like you said, I was looking at Ambassador Reports. You know, this was some Polack called Treshkow, who was a very smart character. Didn't really like what Kristen Identity became. He gave Herbert high points here for essentially not going on the path of British Israelite to outright Kristen Identity. But he was looking, you know, I mean, Bobby Fischer actually met Herbert Armstrong and someone who was of Herbert Armstrong's generation. Herbert Armstrong was born in 1892, 2 years before my grandparents were born. Well, you know, one of my grandparents was born, you know, a year before. You know, was born 1891. Okay? But, moving on is that, Bobby Fischer met Herbert Armstrong and met this other guy who was of his age, and he's looking at these two old fossils gloating about how Herbert Armstrong was able to get the sucker's money to be sent in. Visser, as far as being a confidence mamzer, he is not no Herbert Armstrong. Herbert Armstrong got people, white people, to send him lots of money. Got him to send what? Oh, some cases 40% of their income. Gross income. He got people to send him money. Visser, he just whines like, you know, like a little party Jew pussy, whines that people are not sending him no money. They're not enough to even pay for his little post office box in Griffin, Georgia, or Brooks, Georgia. You know, why he lives the double wide, I'm not sure if it's double wide or single wide. You know, Visser himself here, used to say is that, hell, he hadn't had a job since 2007, when the Caterpillar plant closed down, and he had to work for his red nigger mother, who gets tribal benefits, every so often here. Of course, Visser was telling this crap about how he had hid out for 6 years for a second-degree murder, you know, charge here. And I thought, even at the time, this is horseshit, Visser. Why are you telling me this obvious lie? I mean, Visser, in many cases, pretty well, you know, the critter's delusional and stupid here. It can't keep its lies together. Sometimes it's just, it'll call up and be oh so nice here, and then other times it'll just go ahead and just run wild here. All right? So, let's see. I'm getting up at least 3,000 last month, LLULZ. Yeah, that's her. Sure. I mean, heck, he was paid $3,000 in return for hiding. You know, in turn for hiding. It hid. It was working real hard and hiding out here for 6 years from a second degree murder charge or something like that. Yeah, this is you're quite a brain. Okay. Oh, he died. He did die. Yeah, I heard he did die here. But he was a self-loathing Jew himself here. He hated Jews. And he used to hang around the Worldwide Church of God. He liked Herbert, and then he actually met Herbert and figured out Herbert was just a thieving old bastard. A thieving old bastard who essentially could go ahead and give Jews a run for their money as far as stealing from Wiggers. Okay? You yap about how you're trying to gain people or money, could care less than what? You made $3K last month, LULZ? Only God, go figure, gasp. Alright, well, hey, we got Dembski on. Anyway, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and unmute Dembski. At least he's an honest Jew, or relatively honest Jew. I'm trying to unmute you, Dembski. Okay, Dembski, you're on the air. How you doing?
Hi, good evening, Pastor Winston. How are you?
Oh, well enough here. Every day, not in jail or in the nut house, is a good day, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, I'll let Visser speak here. I hear you got your own talk stew show.
Yes, I do. I only have had one episode so far. Since you're going to give me the opportunity to push it, there's the link to it. I might change the name of it, but for right now, there you go. And for guest 10, who wants a picture of me, well, he can check out the front page of the show and get a funny picture of me, since he seems to want it, like, I don't know, maybe, you know, pleasure himself to my face or something like that. That's the impression I get from guest 10.
Well, that's what you get when you hang out with them busters, though. You get all sorts of perverted critters. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, live and learn. Live and learn. Can I call you Martin tonight?
Sure, if you want. What happens is, you know, supposedly I heard when the show started that you and Visser were talking to each other on your show, right?
No, we were talking to each other on News Guy's show tonight. I wouldn't call it going ass to mouth, though, but hey.
Whatever. Okay, so the News Guy had his show?
Speaking to him, and that gives me a hell of a lot more respect for him than his other broadcasting partner, and he knows how I feel about him.
Yeah, well, the thing is that, what Visser'll do is that he'll go ahead and suck up, and he'll be at the same time working on betraying you. I mean, you know, what was funny is that, you know, this is what, the summer of 2009, Hal, you know, just before Hal Turner, my lawsuit against Obongo gets dismissed for the first time by this Jew judge, Howard K. Sachs or something like that. And here's Visser, he's talking to Sci-Fi Faber about somehow kicking me out of my own church. And Sci-Fi Faber goes ahead and bites, and he goes ahead and blocks me on the 18th from his own show. Well, anyway, about what, 2 months go by. Hal Turner reveals he's not only a rat, but an Asian provocateur. So here's Sci-Fi, he's tied in with Hal Turner. And pretty well, he gets all mad, not only at me, but gets mad at Visser because, Visser put into his head the idea of supposedly kicking me out of my own church and having Eli James call his little synagogue of Jew Satan, or Chicago Sephardic Satan, or whatever, and kick me out of my own church. And he thinks, Sci-Fi thinks that I am hiding for Visser because I don't post the first post. So he posts the first post where Visser is essentially initiating this crap coming down. And Sci-Fi Faber is mad as hell at me, but mad as hell at Visser for essentially double crossing him. And that's what Visser
sounds like. It sounds like you're telling me that if I am dealing with Pastor Visser, I should watch my back because he's backstabber. I have seen absolutely no evidence of that, and I don't see how that would affect me in any way, because our paths aren't going to cross, and he, as well as you, have always treated me with respect since I've started calling these shows and learning about CI. So I'm not going to come on here and crap on him. And I don't go on other shows and crap on you. I tell people that whenever I've called, you've talked to me respectfully. You've thrown your Jew digs in, but, you know, that's...
Well, of course.
What I am. That's
well, yeah,
I'm
that that's...
And you're right.
That's what I like about you.
16 years. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I like. That's what I least like about you. At least you've never hid the fact you're a Jew. What I had is that Oh, recently, you know, recently Toshiba number 3, somehow, you know, changed the new Firefox. But it used to be that they used to play this show where William B. is getting on with Obagenderbender and Visser, denying that News Guy is a Jew. And News Guy ain't quite denying it. He says he's an atheist. He's saying he's an agnostic. He's saying this and that. And later on, Obagenderbender figured out that, well, not only you were a Jew, but that News Guy was a Jew. And he was giving Visser a hard time. Now, Visser disappears every so often for 4 weeks and a couple of days, and I think I figured out the reason why. That's when Bridget the Idiot goes home to mommy, you know, this rich Catholic, relatively rich one, every 4 weeks here, and Visser just sort of hides because the last time, you know, in 2010 didn't end well here. I mean, she went, took the little pisser possums, and essentially, I guess Visser showed his ass in August, and he went up there before the 4 weeks were up, and I guess Mama, who was a Catholic, got mad at him, and he ran back to Georgia, and he got thrown in jail for 3 weeks, and in order to get out, he had to admit that he wasn't white, that he was a Cherokee, he wasn't even white, he wasn't Aryan Nations, he wasn't this, he wasn't that. And
now, can I ask you, Mark,
sure.
how did you acquire this information?
Well, the main information was that he showed up on Eli James's show on December 2nd or 3rd after he seen the judge. You know what I mean? And pretty well what he did in December of 2010, he would get to where he would, you know, this or every so often, he'll try to go ahead and sell you a new lie. So he'll call in, and he'll be smooth and mellow. I think it was around a couple days around Christmas. He calls in, and Pastor John Britton, they talk for 2.5 hours. I'm cold sitting in my computer room. I just go ahead and lean up against the stove. And then afterwards, I asked John Britton, I said, I thought you wanted to beat the dog shit out of the pisser possum. You know, for all the shit that he was doing allowing Brian Wright, this Ashkenazi Melungeon, you know, Jew mamzer, to give him a hard time. He says, well, yeah, I still want to beat Visser's ass, but I'm hoping to get from him where Brian Wright lives here.
if what you're saying is true, what is him claiming on a form that he's Native American has anything to do with getting a lighter or more lenient? We don't have, you know, many red engines here on the East Coast. So I'm not following.
You have a lot of them. I mean, Visser is a Melungeon here. What Visser was trying to do is that you get a hard time if you're a known, you know, just like I did. You get a hard time. Your kids will be taken away from you. You know, that's why normal, you know, Christian identity people here, even the Herbert Armstrongites here, they don't show their ass. They don't go ahead and show anything because they don't want their kids taken away here. Visser pretty well told the judge, and that's pretty well what he said to Eli James, is, and later on, I gave Visser the chance to say, hey, your brother Sean Aaron Visser, who's, you went ahead and removed your Facebook page, you went ahead and removed, you know, your forums, your web page, everything, and all you had was this little picture of your oldest daughter hugging your leg and you looking guilty, and it says, nothing without you. You don't have the rest of your family, you don't have anything, you just have that one daughter, and you're looking like you're tormented, you're tortured. And from what I gather, he admitted that his brother, Sean Aaron Visser, who looks just like an American beaner, who he married a Puerto Rican woman in California who had a nigger daughter named Jasmine Jackal. I don't think that's a real name. So Visser essentially admitted that he wasn't white in order to tell the judge that he was not a white supremacist, he was not a Aryan Nations, hell, he was not even a white man. And he did that in order to get out of stalking charge. So Visser's been, Visser's been.
But if I was in that position and I was a Christian identitist, a member of CI or a member of Aryan Nations or a member of the hate group, why would I? I would do the same thing to try and lessen my sentence.
But you know, Dembski, what you've done is you've never claimed to be Christian identity. You've always claimed that you said that you've had a Jew father and a Jew mother. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's Visser who's...
You've called me a Howard Stern atheist.
Yeah, I called you a Howard Stern Jew.
I still have not seen any evidence of the higher power yet.
Okay, well, hell, I think you maybe know better, but at least I do not. The reason I can go ahead and talk to you, and if you go ahead and look at Visser and Obagender Bender's forum, well, especially Visser's here, they're saying that the hundred minute mark. You said that you admit to being Little Malachi or something like that, and that's what Visser and Obagender Bender said. I haven't bothered to download the show and listen. Did you at the 100-minute mark say that you were Little Malachi?
At the 100-minute mark of what show?
Well, pretty well what Visser said. I didn't know what your actual show number was, but they had a link on Visser's forum.
The talk show that I did.
Yeah. And they say,
I'm always straight up with you. Yeah, I pretended to be Little Malachi, and people were offended by it.
Yeah, well, you told me you weren't Little Malachi. So I did
tell you that at one time, yes.
Yeah, you did. And I figured out. I listened to it, and I thought it was you too. But you know, hey, I mean, I didn't. I thought it was pretty well crude and tasteless, but.
And so did a lot of other people,
and they thought it was crude and malicious here. But you gotta understand something here. As I look at it, what they did to my family means that they won't have any excuse when I go ahead and geld their sons or Sodom, I mean, I was actually in jail and in the nut house with actual perverts. And I told this one bitch, she was gloating about how this one 6'5", 300-pound maniac beat me up and how I deserve what I got. I said, look, it was up to me. I'd make Martin Burke a level 5, and I'd give him a Snickers candy bar, and he would sodomize your 6-year-old kid without a bit thing. So don't go ahead and give me shit about how I deserved it. I mean, I pretty well found out that, you know, him, and he was a homosexual, him and his bitch here, you know, Tom Tanner had been in, you know, been in the nut house 15 years previously for murdering.
That's
another friend here. I have a friend. I still keep in touch with him. He killed his daddy with a. Yeah, you know, I have.
Okay.
I've seen. You know, look.
I made a mistake.
I have seen.
Okay, friend is okay.
I have seen actual. I mean, not like Visser here, who's just simply a mamzer, little petty sneak thief criminal. I mean, I've seen actual killers. Actual maniacs, actual extremely dangerous people here. And like I told this bitch, anyway, his little bitch had been in jail. He'd gone ahead and killed and eaten portions of his homosexual lover. So I found that out, and I called them Marty Dahmer and Tommy Dahmer. His name was Martin Burke.
Now, when you say this bitch, are you talking about a female corrections officer?
No. It was this homosexual. Old Martin Burke was a faggot here. And, you know, essentially, I called his faggot lover Mrs. Burke sometimes. And he got him another Mrs. Burke. So, anyway, they're giving me a thing, you know, call me a child molester and all this sort of thing. So I go ahead and I find out what they're in for. And we have one hell of a blow up on a Friday on August 16th. And I didn't know at the time, but Martin Burke gets psychotic. He's already psychotic. You know, he already accused me of, you know, beaming in through the CIA and Martians, radio beams
now,
here and all this sort of thing.
I'm confused at this point. Are you still in jail at this point, or have you been remanded to the nut house?
No, I never was. I was in jail. Essentially, I refused to get a lawyer. I refused to allow a public pretender. I mean, essentially what they had, and this was illegal as hell, but...
But my quick question is...
I was in the nut house. I was
to me now, we're still in jail at this point.
No, I was in the nut. I was in the nut house.
Okay.
I'd stupidly moved from Ward 11, which had big rooms, which had its own inner courtyard. It was a new addition to Biggs Maximum Security, to the old nut house thing here, which was supposedly the anti-violence unit. And here was old Martin Burke and Tom Tanner, and they were homosexual lovers. They used to be on B7. They moved to the nonviolence ward on B5, and so did I. Because I believe that would help me get over to Gulman all that much more the quicker. You know, it would get me out from under this fat nigger bitch called Alicia Thompson, who essentially was doping me up just to keep me there, you know, because, hey, he's forcibly medicated. He's not competent to stand trial as long as he's forcibly medicated. So,
and when you're remanded to, you always call it the nut house, so I don't think I'm being disrespectful. When you're remanded to a nut house by the... They can give you antipsychotic medications involuntarily.
They're not supposed to. They're not really supposed to. What happens is that I was looking at the Clint Downey stuff from 2002. There was a guy named Sells here. He was nutty as hell, but he was also a doctor, and they were claiming that he was using. You know, he was, you know, engaged in Medicaid fraud here. He didn't trust the government. So, essentially, this was a Missouri case. Missouri and the nut houses have always been notoriously corrupt. There's this landmark Supreme Court case called Drope versus U.S. to where, in 1976, to where this guy is actually nuts. And they were supposed to go ahead and send him for psychiatric evaluation. And he got sent to a nut house. Well, he didn't get sent to a nut house. He got tried for supposedly him and his buddies raped his wife. He has a big fight. And then at trial, he shoots himself in the liver. He goes ahead and gets tried while he's in the hospital. He gets found guilty of rape. And they go through the Missouri, you know, district court. They go through the Missouri Court of Appeals. They go up to the Missouri Supreme Court. And eventually it goes on to the United States Supreme Court. And the United States Supreme Court says, hey, look, Missouri, you got a bunch of laws. Obey your own damn laws. I got sent to the nut house illegally. Okay? So, you know.
And you got sent to the nut house illegally because you were not given your full slate of. Appeals.
Well, I got sent to nut house
before you were able to exercise appeals courts.
No, Dembski. What it's supposed to do is that when they evaluate you, you're supposed to be able to see a copy of the evaluation, and you're supposed to, if you want to, appeal it. The particular judge, Kevin Lee Selby, refused to let me see it. And essentially, he went ahead and sent me a nut house illegally. Okay?
Okay.
Supposedly, you know.
Do you have some kind of court case going regarding this miscarriage of justice?
No! No! You don't want to seem to understand. People think that you can go ahead and sue a judge or you can sue a prosecutor for malicious prosecution. You cannot. You cannot. You cannot. See,
like having another doctor talk about another doctor, they stick together. together.
Well, yeah, they stick together. When they're not supposed to, you know, and I would say that the high point of illegal doping and all this sort of shit was in the mid-2000s here. You got to understand is that, what happens is that they tried to go ahead and get nonviolent whites, about 60% of them at Biggs, the maximum security, are just nutty niggers that, you know, just went ahead and whacked each other. I mean, I was really there illegally, and I was somewhat of a different case here, even though I looked pretty nutty, what, half the beard doll. In any case, I was sent there illegally.
Oh, so the half a beard was a protest. You grew the half a beard during your, not incarceration, but your...
No, I started growing half a beard. Well, I didn't, you know, I grew a full beard, but I shaved off half, you know, on the day I was arrested on May 10th, 2005.
Okay.
I mean, I was sent there illegally.
Okay.
According to their own laws, they were supposed to actually investigate whether or not I molested my grandson or anybody else. They were supposed to have that. Everything they did was illegally, according to their own laws. They sent me to a nut house because I refused to accept a lawyer. Now, the doping, that was illegal. All this shit is illegal. It is not according to law. So, as I look at
it... You're real open about your situation, Martin. Do you mind if I ask you what medications they were giving you against your will?
Risperidol. That's all. I mean, the whole point is that Risperidol isn't for, quote...
That's like a mood elevator.
It's a second generation antipsychotic. The reason I took the Risperidol.
Okay, so they weren't giving you you didn't get a taste of the Seroquel.
Seroquel is a second generation. The first generation essentially is just nothing more than Haldol, Thorazine.
Lithium.
The other things are second generation antipsychotics. The Haldol was actually created in Belgium in the year of my birth, 1957, and essentially it was banned in Europe. They allowed to do that. And essentially what they do is that the whole point of it was, well, this nigger psychiatrist, actually, I really wasn't doped very much. I was just doped enough to say, well, he has to be forcibly medicated, and therefore he's not competent to go to trial. And essentially, the main thing that got me out was in 2008, Matt Blunt decided he was not going to run for a second term in Missouri. He was such a thief. Essentially, everything that they did was illegal according to their own laws, and they do it anyway. And generally, as I look at it...
Just quickly, Martin, and I'll let you go, have your time, it's your show, I'll still talk with you, but how are you, was it like line up for meds time and they check you under your tongue and look in your mouth to make sure you're...
They do that later. See, what it boiled down to is the only time that happened was when this nigger from Kenya, he had my guts here and he caught me. Not swallowing it. I mean, most of the time I didn't, I'd go ahead and spit it out. There was a time I got caught, and essentially I was threatened with Haldol. And essentially the reason I took it was if I didn't take it, I would get a 10 and a 5, a 10 milligrams of Haldol and 5 milligrams of Ativan. And, oh, shoot, that's all, Haldol's awful shit. You know what I mean? It's just like wearing a half inch of lead here.
It's actually awful. I knew a girl in New York City who was on it and wound up. It helped her so much she wound up jumping in front of a subway train.
All these antipsychotic medications, especially the second generation, the first generation, the Thorazine and the rest, they're just tranquilizers. They tranquilize to all you want to do is just lay down. You don't want to eat. You don't want to do nothing. You just want to lay on your bed and drool.
Like Thorazine and Melaril in these types of situations anymore?
Oh, they do. They have to with the niggers. Some of these niggers are so violent, they have to be doped up so damn much here. So when you see these doped up niggers in bigs, they're wanting to kill one another. It's just that they swing so slow. You know what I mean? And that's because their synapse.
They need to be trained with that so they just sleep and drool.
Well, yeah, and that's pretty well what they threatened me with here. My point, Dembski, is that essentially, since there is no law, you can do whatever you want to judges and lawyers and police. And I've told police. I mean, I bet I could have your, I could go ahead and have your, pretty well, if it's up to me, I'd just go ahead and take your kid and squeeze his nuts with a pair of vice grips until he go ahead and testifies against you. And essentially, go ahead and give you one hell of a choice. But what it boils down to is that eventually you will confess to treason, and then we'll go ahead and skin you out, crucify the rest of it here. I mean, I have a dream, Dembski. I have a dream to where there's a, you know, there's what, 120 million dead Uyghurs and 180 million dead Muds, and but a bunch of dead Jews. And there's only 10 million white people left, ruled over by 10,000 warlords when Jesus Christ comes back. And that's why in some cases, when Gary and Logan are in, I tried to bring in, say, Joel chapter 2 and 3. I mean, I'm looking forward to a lot of bloodshed. I'm looking forward to nothing but, well, essentially, killing and killing and killing. And I sort of like what is going on in this country. Now, a critter like Visser...
And you think you'll see this in your lifetime?
Well,
you are older than me, but you're not decades older than me.
No, I'm 55, close to 56.
Right.
I mean, I think...
We're less than 10 years apart. Are we going to see this in our lifetime? Your 10,000 warlords and your 120 Uyghurs eliminated. Is it going to come quickly, or is it something...
Dembski, have you ever seen a mighty evil empire, once it destroys its founding stock, do you see the Assyrians, or the Persians, or the Greeks and the Romans making history?
Yes.
They're no longer making history. I mean, I see this sort of thing. I see the stupid nigger Eric Holder, and I see the stupid nigger Obongo. I see these stupid niggers... even this Fred Reed, who has a Mexican wife here, he says, you can't say much about the strategic vision. I know that these niggers probably ain't reading Sun Tzu, but you got to wonder about the strategic vision of a bunch of niggers who think they're going to win a race war against white people who not only feed them, but pay taxes to give them a welfare check. There is no good... result here. Now, in the case of, say, Visser, he's just a shit-eating Sephardic Melungeon Mamzer who has already had to admit that he's not Aryan Nations. He pretend to be Aryan Nations, but he's not. He's just simply a Sephardic Melungeon who essentially wants to pretend to be white. He's not white. He's just simply a mongrel. We were talking about, this show was mainly supposed to be about Fink. Fink got on Carolyn Yenta's show. He's whining and pissing and moaning about what Eli James wrote about him. And I don't know if you were earlier, you heard this clip to where he admits he's not a high school graduate. He's just simply, he's not much of a historicist. He's not really much of anything. And, these critters coming in. So mostly...
I don't know if I quite heard him say it like that, but go ahead.
Well, anyway, that's why I was going ahead and, playing. I was playing where he goes ahead and gets on his own show. He's with old nigger lips, Brian Rio, screaming within the first 3 minutes. And then Brian Rio comes in and brings him down. Now, Brian Rio is hilarious. Well, it's unfair here. Someone who is 16% white, why is he better than somebody who's only 15% white? And nigger lips, Brian Rio, isn't 80% white. I mean, well, he's a percentage white. He got some white blood in him, but he got a good deal of, Mamzer and Jew and nigger and the rest here. And he gets mad when you go ahead and show his picture. None of these characters can pass scrutiny. You gotta wonder about Old Genderbender. What the hell? I mean, if Visser at least uses his name here, and you have a picture of him at, well, at Pete Peters, to where he's looking like a reptilian-eyed, hook-nosed, red-skinned mongrel. I mean, what the hell does Old Genderbender look like? You know what I mean? I'm seeing, you know, and pretty well everybody in Christian Day is seeing a Jew Mamzer, a character who essentially looks worse than Visser as far as being white is concerned. You know what I mean? Right?
Well, I still don't see the resemblance of the guy poolside at the Pastor Pete Peters event to the guy who is with his daughter. To me, they look like two totally different people. So
okay, well, they're not. What happens is that it's on Visser. You know, pretty well, I got the idea. I mean, this was this channel put on by Visser. Visser used to go ahead and post his 2008 Feast of Tabernacles sermons, but he took them down because people look at them and they see that Visser was on the meth at the time. I mean, Visser looked like a total meth head. So Visser pulled his Feast of Tabernacles at Ukoi talk show videos because, hey, he's looking just like a meth head. In 2009, 2 days before 9/9/09, you know, 2 days before that, he is telling everybody he's going to quit Christian Identity forever. And I haven't, you know, I mean, pretty well.
Is this in his forum or on someone's show?
No, this is on his forum. You got to understand, okay. Visser's had a number of forums, and they get so much. They get so many posts here which are so toxic to where he looks like a total lying mamzer. He looks like, you know, he looks like what he is, a criminal, you know, just a non-white criminal. He goes ahead and nukes his entire forum. Oh, they're going to be up. They're going to be up anytime soon. And they're not up. And, you know,
now, let me just ask you something. And I'm sure. Sorry if I interrupt you, but I am using the magic check, and I've been told that that steps over people, which I think is a bunch of bullshit. But anyway, why is, if there are only, let's, the number I've heard is 1.8 million Jews in this country, or 1.8% of this country is Jews. How have you determined that Visser is Jewish?
You know what a Melungeon is, don't you?
Yes, like an Abraham Lincoln. Yes,
they're called a triracial isolate. They have a good deal of red nigger in them, a good deal of nigger in them, and then they have some white in them. But in many cases, what it is it's actually not white, it's actually Jew. And you have Ashkenazi Melungeons, like Dan Johns, you know, who is giving crones to his little son, Legal Mamzer, and, you know, like his friend, Brian Wright. And then you have Sephardic Melungeons, like Visser. Visser, from what I gather, his father is a Dutch... is a Dutch Sephardic Jew. His mother, from what I gather, Zora Leah, I say Bilatus, two possums fucking, Visser, is a part Cherokee, part other sort of breed critter here. So therefore, Visser is a, quote, Melungeon. He's a Sephardic Melungeon. Visser has several times admitted...
But according to the Bible, he's not a Jew, because only his father, according to what you're telling me, is Jewish.
Okay, well, we got to understand is that Jews are really, as we say, they're tri-racial, well, they're just like Melungeons. They're essentially mongrels. They're mongrels from both, quote, white Jews and, you know, part, I mean, I used to, piss off Jews, Jews and niggers in the nut house by telling them the Willie Martin heresy. Willie Martin said that Satan came in, you know, not as a man, not as a white man, not as a Jew man. He came as a nigger man, and Eve, you know, Eve was sort of like Clint Downey. She seen the old big black snake on that critter and said, "Oh, what a peach," and she rolled over on her heels here. And so as a result, Jews got, you know, that's why every Jew has 5 to 15% Negro marker genes here, like they say. So I go ahead and tell both Jews and niggers that, and both the niggers and the Jews would be pissed off, because niggers...
You just said every Jew, I guarantee you if I drop a DNA test, there's no nigger gene in me. I guarantee you that.
Okay, well, all right, well, we'll leave that as it may here. In any case, okay, they, you know, you end up having all sorts of different Jews. The two major differences, you do know the difference between the Sephardic Jews and the Ashkenazi Jews, right? Okay?
Yes.
And, the big fight within Christian identity right now, it's going on, and the easiest way to describe it is a fight between the Sephardics, in the case of Visser and Eli James, versus the Ashkenazi, in the case of, Fink. Fink, mainly. So there's a, you know, the Ashkenazi treat the Sephardics, you know, like second-class citizens. In many cases, the Sephardics...
Why are all these Jews running around pretending to be CI and apparently being ordained by somebody without being fully vetted before getting their before being ordained?
Well, you ask critters like Visser. I mean, Visser will claim that he was ordained through the line of Swift and Butler, and here he is letting Brian write, and then wondering why everybody gets annoyed that essentially Visser and his buddy Brian Ryder call Swift and Butler Mamzers here. That was one of the excuses I used for getting rid of Visser, you know, pretty well separating myself from Visser in 2010. Pretty well the last...
But I know things can be photoshopped, but Visser provided proof that he was ordained by Butler.
No, he didn't provide any proof. He's never been ordained by Butler. He put up a claim that he had been ordained by Gillette. Gillette claims that he was ordained.
I'm sorry. Doesn't he say he was ordained by? Like Richard Butler, right? Like the big man.
He says a lot of shit. Visser lies a lot here. Visser can't go 2 minutes without lying. Visser had something, you know, I mean, essentially Visser was pretending to be a pastor. Now, the closest he ever got was he claimed to be ordained by some Pentecostal or Baptist bell priest. The closest I've seen was way back in, 2001, 2002. But, you know, pretty well he got rid of that here. I mean, Visser claims a lot of shit. Gillette claims a lot of shit. Gillette was running around with Ray Redfern, but Ray Redfern got tired of him being just a stupid drunken crackhead, and, you know, Redfern was forced to kick him out. And from what I gather...
So a stupid drunken crackhead who died from abuse of cocaine got sick of an alleged stupid crackhead who is not proved to be a stupid crackhead, meaning Redfern died from blowing his heart out due to using too much coke, and he got rid of...
That's what a lot of people...
Visser.
No, he ain't, you know, Visser didn't... Visser, you know, I have no evidence Visser knew Ray Redfern. You know what I mean? Yeah, you have no. I mean, Visser.
The person you're talking about, Redfern, basically kicking to the curb.
Gillette. He kicked out Gillette. Okay. Well, what happens is that they were, you know, he had Dave Hall in 1995 and 1996, and then Dave Hall got revealed to be a agent provocateur. It went on till about 2003, and 2003, both Redfern and August Christ rebelled against Butler, tried to kick Butler out. Ray Redfern went back and got ordained by, got reordained and made the second command because Newman Britton had died. And he died in November 2003. Now, I found out all this stuff out because here is Brian Wright. This is, you know, Ashkenazi, Melungeon, you know, Cole or whatever. He's allowing to run wild and, you know, stalk Pastor John Britton's family and the rest. Essentially, he claimed he was, you know, he was Church of Sons of Yahweh Reformed. Well, on August 3rd, here is Bridget the Idiot trying to ban me and John Britton. Visser comes on and essentially says, Brian, I'll give you your own sub for him. I'll let you do this and do that. And essentially, here's Brian Wright. He's pretending that he is able to kick John Britton out as senior pastor. And I'd beg John Britton to be the senior pastor, you know, while Gillette was in prison. And Gillette was in prison, we didn't say too much about, but essentially Gillette was in prison because he was a drunken crackhead plotting to rob banks in Alabama, and he took a plea bargain and he got sent to prison. So here's Visser and Brian Wright and Bridget the Idiot. They're plotting somehow to kick John Britton out, and they can't. I go and I start looking on the Ohio Secretary of State's webpage. I look at the Idaho Secretary of State's webpage. I look at the Washington State Secretary of webpage, and there is no Church of the Sons of Yahweh Reformed. There is, however, a Church of the Sons of Yahweh. And essentially, Ray Redfern, when he got kicked out by Butler, along with Christ, he formed his own Church of the Sons of Yahweh. Now, he's supposed to have three boards of directors, but he just paid $25. And the state of Ohio, Secretary of State, who cares? You know, give me my money, you're a corporation. Because essentially that's what I'm doing with my church. I have a church, I have a Church of Jesus Christ Christian, Aryan Nations of Missouri. I forget off what the number is. And, you know, pretty well, I've gotten to where I pay for 2 years. So essentially I have a corporation good standing in Missouri. You know what I mean? So, you know, Ray Redfern, he knew how to do that. And he also knew damn well how to not keep any board of directors to kick him out because he's a drunken, you know, because he's a crackhead. You know what I mean? Now, there is no...
I've heard that to be documented to be the cause of his death, so yeah.
There's a lot of people who believe that he died at the age of 54 or 55 of an overdose of cocaine. You know what I mean?
Yes, that I have, you know, since hooking up with you fine gentlemen, the homework I've done shows me that I've read that great Redfern, regardless of whoever on here is in the Redfern camp, did die of abuse of cocaine.
Well, that's, I mean, he died suddenly at the age of 54, 55. He was,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, his family didn't have a, you know, history. I think Redfern's mother's still alive for, you know, by purpose. I mean, essentially just died suddenly of a heart attack. You know what I mean? And everybody knew, you know, including this old guy from Ohio, knew that Ray Redfern and Morris Gillette were crackheads. You know what I mean? So essentially they die, you know, I mean, you know, Gillette was plotting to steal. Gillette has, you know, he wasn't. I found out all the stuff while I was in the nut house. I called Brian Wright three times. I called this old guy from Ohio. Found out that essentially this dead Nazi gave 40% of it to Ray Redfern's church, which John Britton is now the senior pastor of, because Ray Redfern's in prison, federal prison, because he took a plea bargain. So essentially, and Ray Redfern, I mean,
but you're going back a ways because Ray Redfern's dead. So
yeah, he's dead.
In prison.
No, he's not in prison, okay. But Gillette's in prison. And I bet, you know, I saved Gillette's church twice. Once by, you know, begging John Britton to take over it. And then I found out, you know, I mean, in 2007, I found out about the trust fund. And essentially, the reason Gillette robbed these banks is that essentially the lawyers didn't want an Aryan Nation faction getting $400,000 here. essentially, they were keeping Gillette from getting the money, and he had to have his crack, so he came up with this idiot idea here. And here's Visser. Visser knows about it. Brian Wright was on the board of trustees. So I go ahead and I go ahead and find out that in 6 weeks, the church charter is going to be dissolved, unless Ray Redfern does it. And I don't say a dang thing. I just go ahead and bring up to where, hey, look, in 2005 on this other form, you said that you resigned. You resigned in May 2007. So how can you go ahead and claim that you're a member of the board of directors? And essentially, you know, tie that up, and I'm waiting for 6 weeks. I go ahead and I write a letter to Gillette through this old guy in Ohio and say, hey, look, Gillette, if this church corporation dies, you might end up losing, the $400,000 that are in there that they haven't given you yet.
Right.
And essentially what happens...
I've heard about several times.
Yeah.
You're saying $400,000.
That's $500,000. Last I hear it is $500,000.
The same trust fund you're speaking about, correct?
Yeah, it's by this guy named Harold Grooms. Okay. I didn't even know the name of the dead Nazi until Gillette gets out of prison here. Essentially, Gillette got into a halfway house in February 2010. He didn't even thank John Britton. Certainly didn't thank me, because I'd written and said, hey, look, look, Gillette, you should just simply said, I'm just nothing more than a drunken crackhead. I was drunk. I wasn't really going to rob banks in Alabama and taking your chance in front of a jury and taking your 30 years prison if you lost here. He didn't want to do that. This other Anglo mestizo went ahead and pled guilty. Gillette's a Zogbot. I mean, shoot, don't send him any money. He got $500,000. You know what I mean? And he's getting probably $10,000 or $20,000 a year. He's not getting a lot, but he's getting some. You know what I mean? So don't send.
Okay, so currently, the person who has legal say or legal control of that trust fund is
Morris Gillette. Morris Gillette.
Okay.
He really probably shouldn't have, because when he went ahead and renewed it, he really wasn't eligible to do it, because he was in prison in Florida and not living in Ohio. But what the heck here? I mean, neither me nor John Britton wanted to take something that didn't belong to us. You know what I mean? I got the feeling that if I won, maybe this old guy in Ohio would have just simply cut Gillette out of it. But I didn't want to do that. I mean, both me and John Britton, we wanted Gillette, when he got out of prison, to have a small Christian identity church. And we wanted him to have, if Ray Redfern gave it to Gillette, well, let Gillette have it. You know what I mean? Not a problem. I mean, I don't want to take something that don't belong to me, and near to John Britton. But essentially, don't have anything to do. I mean, Visser is just simply a supported criminal who I think is around because, hey, he's caught because he's just a caught crackhead. You know what I mean? Pretty well, when all this crap is going on, pretty well the word in the Christian Day Street is that Visser isn't having his door kicked in by the FBI. His door is being kicked in by the County Joint Drug Task Force. And looking at his 2008 Feast of Tabernacle videos, where you can see his skull.
His door was kicked in by what task force?
The County Joint Drug Task Force. I mean, Visser is a meth goober, and of course he's a nigger weed smoker too. But, he's a pot smoker.
Now,
and
just one question. Why have I heard it said that after communicating with you, he was paid a visit by the FBI not too long after that?
Oh, he claims in the post to Eli James, he's just like Gillette here. I got sent on by the FBI because of Lindstedt. I mean, Gillette, he lies like crazy, saying that I talked to this, claimed to be a Phineas priest. No, I mean, you had all these people, they talk about how big and bad they are. When Gillette got arrested here, I was the only one in this church here who, I used Roxy's cell phone and I called down and I talked to this hyper nigger assistant, you know, prosecuting attorney named Gillespie, according to the, you know, press release. And essentially, you know, everybody was just scared shitless, and I called and I found out where Gillette and the Scott Charles Thornton were kept at here, and, you know, got people to write letters to them and send them $5 or $6 or $10 in commissary funds. I mean, and in return, Gillette made me and John Britton pastors of his own ministry. And anyway, that's getting on there. Visser, in between the times, see, Bridget the Idiot runs off to Washington in August, and essentially he's not supposed to go back up there, and essentially he goes up there, then he runs back to Georgia, and he gets arrested and spends three weeks in jail. He gets out the night of September 9th, 2010, and around 10:30, you know, central a.m. central time. Because I was looking at it, you know, 10:30 of that morning. It's just sort of like when, you know, remember when Obagenderbender and the Pisser Possum, you know, had the big fight with each other, and I got a screenshot. I had two computers then here, same damn reason here. I'm looking at Toshiba number one, you know, have it up, and then I'm looking at Toshiba number two. And essentially, I'm seeing this web page disappear on Toshiba number two. So I go to Toshiba number one, which hasn't been refreshed, and I immediately take a screenshot of stuff. I immediately save it. Same way when Obagenderbender and Pisser Possum are pulling this crap. I mean, if you're dealing with Visser and you're dealing with Obagenderbender, and you see something and it disappears on your other computers, you need to take a screenshot immediately. Okay, so that's what you do, and that's what Visser did.
Okay, so
Visser
is how you get this information.
Oh yeah, well, and then you listen in, and here is Visser claiming the FBI, you know, said, you know, the FBI said that I was taking some of Visser's posts here, because Visser was on my forum. He had a subforum on my forum, and I had a subforum on his forum. And essentially, I'm able to read his private messages, because you're not able to read a password, but you're able to change the password. So then you can go ahead and get control of their account by doing so. You understand what I'm saying? But moving on here, you know, that's how you can do it in vBulletin or any other forum software. So anyway,
okay, what is it, where does Alan Truitt fit into this? Because I've heard his name.
Anglo Macizo Truitt. He's a Texas criminal who supposedly served 25 years in prison. This is a hilarious thing. What Gillette will do, you know, Gillette will go ahead and call me a child molester, although he didn't say that was. Gillette, as part of his plea, you know, agreement, had to go ahead and denounce me for, prion poisoning, and, you know, like I've told you, I mean, I believe in torturing the children of regime criminals, and then simply exterminating, you know, well, the police, the judges, the lawyers, and any Whigger who goes ahead and sides with these criminals. You know, what you do is, when you're done skinning them, you go ahead and tack them up, but you go ahead and you leave some crosses in the middle, so that every single little Whigger or Mamzer regime criminal or Whigger supporter can go ahead, essentially, they want to play Jesus Christ and take upon the sin of the regime criminals, they can. We'll just go ahead and see whether or not they're able to crawl down off of that cross and come back in 3 days or less here. I mean, that's what you do with, you know, bail priests and, you know, righteous Whiggers, self-righteous Whiggers here. You make sure that you understand that there's a new order of life, and anyone who doesn't belong isn't going to make it at all. But moving on,
Visser,
what Visser Was this or did?
I know of Truett and
okay, I want to finish
South African show together. I wouldn't know them from Adam.
Okay.
Both of these guys are criminals and are not legitimate Christian identity preachers. Is that correct?
No, they're not. They're just criminals. Anglo Mestizo Truett, he's a mamzer of some sort or another.
Okay.
What Visser?
I heard you trying to get in there, and I'm sorry for stepping
okay.
over you. Okay.
What Visser claimed on Eli James' show is that the FBI interrogated him for something that was supposedly on my forum. Well, when Visser was pulling this crap here, I didn't have a forum. Brian Rio had taken it down on HostMonster and 1.1.com, so therefore I didn't have any forum. That was none of Visser's lies. But Visser claims every so often that I sicked the FBI on him. The truth of the matter was that here was Visser running around with a little hoodie pretending to be Unabomber. He was pretending to be Unabomber, and if the FBI asked me a question, they're probably wondering, why are you impersonating Unabomber? I mean, don't you know that Unabomber, you remember the old pictures way back before they found out it was Ted Kaczynski, you know, of the composite picture of Unabomber they used to have? Here's Visser impersonating him. So he's claiming the FBI asked him. I wouldn't believe anything. I told Visser that he wasn't a Unabomber, he was a Unabonger. He only has one bong here, and he goes ahead and drinks the bong water both from his mouth and from his nigger weed. So essentially, this is just more of Visser's lies. I mean, Visser's an idiot. Visser is actually pretty much of an idiot. You know what I mean? Okay?
Well, I don't know from the preaching or the sermons I've heard, he seems to be able to preach his ass off.
Well, Visser's like a nigger. He has a good deal of verbal intelligence, I'll grant you. But if you go ahead and actually look at what Visser writes, there's not much there. You understand what I'm saying? There's not much there.
Okay, and I'm also not versed on, you know, I can't tell you what Ezekiel, you know, 2.22, you know, I'm making something up. But, you know, I don't know this stuff. But he does seem to, you know, even being a non-believer, I find him, I'm able to listen to him because his delivery and his, you know, apparent knowledge, at least to me, is interesting. You know?
Oh, yeah. I've told Visser several times. Look, Visser, in order to get a stock in charge, you admitted that you were not even white. You know, you're not Aryan Nations, you're not this, you're not that. Visser, if you were to run around and you could probably actually make a living as a Pentecostal or, you know, Primitive Baptist bell priest. You could do very good. I mean, Visser has a good deal of verbal intelligence. I think the reason Visser doesn't run around is that essentially, I think he doesn't want to go to prison. I think he has so many drug charges against him here, and that was another reason I decided to dump him in 2010. Here he was running around without any money at all, you know, the entire time I knew him, and all of a sudden he gets a $280 V-Bulletin 4.01, $285 for that. He gets what, $120 for a new server? Where'd he get all the money? You know, that was another thing that, you know, in 2010. But pretty well the last straw was when Brian Wright comes in and he says, well, I want to cuss on my own private blog. I want to use profanity. I want to use disrespect. Can I do that? And essentially, Visser says, go ahead, Brian. But at the same time, he's going ahead and imposing laws, you know, a rule against me and John Britton for supposedly cussing. And yeah, I admit I cuss. You know what I mean? Of course, Visser cusses as well. I mean, Visser, you know, pretty well, I was determined to get, I mean, what with catching Visser and Bridget the Idiot and Brian Wright stalking not only myself, but John Britton and John Britton's family, trying to steal Morse Gillette's trust fund, essentially, you know, conspiring with Sci-Fi Faber and Eli James to somehow kick me out of my own church, essentially, you know, hearing about the County Joint Drug Task Force, essentially seeing the videos where he looks like a meth goober, pretty well, you know, getting all this money all of a sudden, all this other shit here. I mean, hell, 2010, I'm gonna dump Visser.
So much about Pastor Visser's, you know, life. And I'm not defending him. I have no reason to. Are you saying that the FBI never busted into his house? And you know,
I don't think the FBI busted. I don't. For what? I mean, what? You know, the FBI is worried about, you know, posts that Visser makes on my forum, which is not there because Brian Rio has taken it down, you know, has taken it down for the last 3 weeks here. I've been kicked off of 101.com and Hostmaster, so therefore my forum is tits up. I'm trying to go ahead and get hosted. I'm trying to go ahead and get hosted on iWeb Canada, and essentially when Visser is saying this shit, I don't even have a fucking forum. You know what I mean? It's been nuked.
Okay, but you are saying that Visser was a warrant or something. Someone entered Visser's home, and it was a task force, and this was regarding possible drug.
No, Visser, you know, the FBI story is bullshit. I don't believe the FBI story for a second here. Word out on the street was he got his door, you know, this was in September and August of 2009. He was getting his door kicked in by the County Joint Drug Task Force because essentially he's just a crackhead is all he is. He's just a red nigger crackhead. That's all he is. You know what I mean? He's just
okay.
A petty criminal.
I guess we can move on from Visser.
I mean, that's all Visser's ever been. Now, if Visser, you know, I mean, what Visser will do, like in 2010, you know, I need to go ahead and put these shows up on TalkShoe. Essentially, Visser would be oh so polite here. He'd be oh so polite, and essentially, you know, when the judge found out that he wasn't white, he wasn't a white supremacist, he wasn't Aryan Nations, why, look at my brother, Sean Aaron Visser here, why, no, Visser isn't white, Visser promises to behave. There's a period of 3 months when Visser is under the control of this judge. The charges are dismissed, but since the judge is still in there, and Visser cannot say that he's white, that he's a white supremacist, or anything like that. And essentially, Visser comes in, he overstumbling, he goes ahead and shows up as Cherokee Visser, redder than Adam, you know, I mean, that's Visser's little dodge, is that he's actually redder than Adam, because, hey, he's, you know, he's 25% Cherokee. Visser will go ahead and get drunk and ever so often say that, and then he'll get all pissed off, and, you know, Visser will try to censor, Visser will try to do all this other shit. All he is just a drunken, Sephardic, Melungeon, crackhead. That's all he is. He doesn't have anything. He doesn't have anything worth repeating theologically, as far as Christian identity is concerned. He's just simply a drunken, partial Jew mamzer. That's all he is. He's just
okay,
a criminal.
Another question: how did you obtain information on his father being a Sephardic Jew? Like, how did that come in?
No, no. What happens, Visser is a Sephardic Dutch name. Visser's claim to be that here. I have looked at Nimbusters, but in many cases, I do read every so often, not even every day, usually once a week, and I'll probably go over to Nimbusters tomorrow morning and look and see what the hell, because, I mean, you know, Nimbusters are a bunch of perverted retards and idiots.
Well, you know what it's going to say. It's going to say
Marty Chomo. Well, yeah, it's gonna have a lot of that. But essentially, these Mamzers, they're at war with themselves. They'll also have stuff about Visser. They'll have stuff about Newskike. They'll have stuff about you. They'll have, you go ahead and you find out. Siegfried.
The conference is now locked.
Call recording has been completed.
Something's happened here.
Well, it doesn't say. I don't know what the hell it is here. We're still in here. I mean, this is probably a talk tube problem. You know what I mean? But we could be kicked off.
That call recording has ended, so.
No, and it hasn't ended.
If no one's listening to us, I still want to continue the conversation.
No, we're continuing here. Anyway, I've been in this movement. I was pretty well. Looking from back, I was looking at the Clint Downey and the Holy War thing way back from what? 2000 to 2002. And, here is Clint Downey pulling the same crap the Visser does. It's slander! It's slander! What are you talking about me? Well, the truth of the matter is that what was told about Clint Downey was true. She was just simply a lying whore. Who used to be married to the Washington State Klan leader named Badinsky, and from my guess, she was a sexual mascot afterwards. Essentially, she was just a lying whore.
The Washington State Klan leader name you just mentioned, why does that sound Jewish to me?
He's probably a Polak here. He's probably a Polak. I mean, you have the same thing that Clint Downey does, that Fink does, that Visser does. I don't know if you're at the very start show. Here's Fink whining about the slander. You go look at what Eli James wrote about him. I'd say a little bit over half of it is quite true, and the rest of it is just mainly lies here. But it's a fight between Sephardics and Ashkenazi Jews, and Fink is, Fink was just freaking out. I don't know if you listened to the first 3 minutes, Fink admits he's not a high school graduate. Fink admits that he's been a federal prisoner. He won't admit he actually killed the Puerto Rican. But, you end up having, the reason I got on to Fink is that essentially you end up having old Carolyn Yenta. She has Jews and Mamzers and Mongols all over the place, and she pretends to be of the white network. I go ahead and look at Axel Skanky. See, what I do is the same thing I've been doing, since what? I got on the internet in 1995. I get on these forums. I get on these old movement list servers. I go over to Southern Poverty Law Center. I probably have the best old private intelligence network of anybody in the movement. And what I do is
STLC, that's the Morris D's run thing, is that right?
Yeah, it's Morris D's. That's actually Mark Patak who actually runs it. He's a Jew faggot.
Yeah,
but
I've heard both names.
Yeah, but
you're on there as you have a page, is that correct?
Well, let me see. The only time the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL spelled my name right, the entire time, about 20 years, was when I got arrested for supposedly molesting my grandson. That was the only time they ever spelled my name. They always spell, and that's what Wiggerswill does. That's what Hattie the Meerkat does. They always deliberately misspell my name. You know what I mean? April Gady sort of learned how to do that too. They misspell my name because they don't want people Googling Linseal my name. You know what I mean? So the only
too bad they didn't misspell your name on some of these arrest documents because I don't know if it's true, but maybe you could have walked because they misspelled your name. I don't know if that's
no, that's that common law court shit here. So you gotta understand, they were out to go ahead and have me arrested, and, they didn't want me, because I'd already had plenty of lawsuits, they didn't want me being my own attorney, so they wanted to force saddle me with a public pretender. And, you know, this particular judge, Kevin Lee Selby, was trying to have the, you know, was trying to have the public pretender's office be forced to represent me, and they wouldn't have any of it. I mean, shoot, they're overworked as it is. They have, what, 500 cases?
Martin, why didn't you take the lawyer that was offered to you instead of spending 3 years of your life in a mental institution?
3.5 years.
Why did you not take
because you know, all right, let me answer this here. You see, by going ahead and accepting a public pretender, what happens is that then they could, under Revised Statute of Missouri 491, although that was overturned, that should have been overturned, what they've done is that they've allowed, and that's why a lot of people get railroaded, what they do is they get the public pretender to essentially represent you. And what they then allow is that since you have representation, the lawyer can listen to a little video to where here they have this kid, he's scared he's going to be killed or hurt or something like that. He goes ahead on a video and says, oh yes, they molest me, you know, twice on Sundays, you know, twice on Sundays and every day. Essentially, they did not want me to confront my grandson, have my grandson say, well, no, he didn't do it. Because then their case falls apart. And then, why have you destroyed this family? That's what scares these people. I tell policemen to his face, you are part of this. Therefore, do not. Will you shut up, Dembski? Will you shut up? Damn it! I have nothing to say to any Whigger. You have gone ahead and allowed these policemen and these judges and these lawyers to send me there because you made something up. Therefore, you and your children have no right to live. You have no moral capacity to complain when I go ahead and torture your children. You have no moral capacity to complain when the Civil War kills you and your entire family. You have no rights. There is no law. And therefore, whoever is powerful gets to do whatever the fuck they want to you. And that is, you know, that is exactly what the hell I'm talking about, the Great Tribulation. You don't have any rights at all. And if you even dare to go ahead and say, Martin, you shouldn't have gilded this policeman's child and made his father eat his nuts. You shouldn't have gone ahead and run him through a grinding machine. There's a cross right in between there for you and your family, because essentially, you are responsible for what a policeman does. You are responsible for what your government does. Nazi Germany and Dresden was bombed for what they allowed Adolf Hitler to do. Why the hell shouldn't all these Whiggers die for what they allowed George Bush to do, what they allowed Dick Cheney to do, what they allowed these Jews to do? And that's exactly the point I try to make here. I'm looking forward, and every white man is looking forward to the day that it all gets over and done with. Okay, Dembski? Do you understand? Okay. And when people go ahead,
you have to chimp out on me, Mark.
Well, you were running your mouth here, and I wanted to go ahead and answer the question here. Dembski, it's like this here. You know, if I'd have allowed it here, I would have been railroaded, I'd have been murdered, and I would have been put to death here. You know, Timothy McVeigh had a lawyer. He had a lawyer. Wouldn't he have been a whole lot better? I mean, the only one who had any sense here was Ted Kaczynski. He wanted to be his own lawyer. They put him in a nut house, and they mistreated him until, okay, all right, I'll accept public pretender, I'll plead guilty. You understand what I mean? Never accept a lawyer. Never accept a lawyer. Timothy McVeigh had a lawyer. Edgar Steele had a lawyer. Matt Hale had a lawyer. Bill White had a lawyer. Where are they?
Every one of them is serving time.
Or dead. Or supposedly dead, right?
Or dead.
Or dead.
Or or in a little box in Florence, Colorado, in Super.
Right. Right. Right.
Or Marion.
Or Marion. You do not want, you do not, I mean, essentially, you want to go ahead and tell. I mean, policemen are scared shitless. They're all scared shitless. They know they deserve death. They know they deserve death. They, you know, they're just simply, you know, I mean, the way I am, unlike all these other movement tards, my hatred is far overgrown my fear. Far so. I mean, essentially, when you are locked up here, essentially, they do whatever the hell they want to do to you. All you can do is just simply wait them out. Now, essentially, you know, the entire thing, what they did, it was contrary to their law. They did not want me going ahead and bringing up that they weren't even obeying their own bullshit laws. And they weren't. From day one. You know, I mean, heck, it doesn't really matter. They do whatever the hell they want to you. Now, as a result, they don't have the money that they used to have. So as a result, I go ahead and look at this, you know, guilty or not guilty, these people facing 40 years, why don't you just simply go to a police station and strap yourself up here and blow yourself up, or go to a school and shoot down all the little wiggers and mamsers and the rest? Why don't you, I mean, essentially, this system is just waiting to implode. Why don't you just simply, you know, I mean, understand you're not going to get any justice. You know what I mean? So what you do, I mean, actually, Visser and Eli James and Fink, they're doing Christian Identity a service because, hey, Eli James has a whole bunch of mamsers like Rebecca Mace here and Ethan24 and Dutch Homa. I mean, shoot, if you're listening to Visser, it's because, well, hey, ain't because, you know, you're either wanting to cause trouble like me, or you're, chances are, you're just a mamser or a nimbuster retard or something here. Visser actually is useful. Visser actually, the evil creature doesn't want to be useful, but he actually is useful. You know what I mean?
Useful in the way that you've described Apocalypse as being useful, like.
Well, Apocalypse was useful at one time to me. What he did is that he may, you know, but then again, he had this here Wigger who was married to a Beaner who liked playing, that, and they nuked all my old posts. I mean, what I've done is I've always had a secret forum, or two, or three, to where I can go ahead and, you know, Brian Rio takes it down, okay, let it rest for a little while, then bring it back up here. And pretty well, I'm sort of wondering, do I need to see Brian Rio? Do I need to see Fink? Do I need to sue Visser? I mean, I could go ahead and find out who Victor Switzer was. I can go ahead and find out who Obagender is. You know what I mean? Because pretty well, Obagender Bender isn't going to reveal himself to try to quash the subpoena. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, Visser is not particularly dangerous. Everybody knows what Visser looks like. Visser's stupid enough to post a YouTube of himself. You know what I mean? Visser doesn't look white. I mean, you know, here's Visser. You know, what, about a couple months ago. Visser posts his, you know, driver's license. It says BLU for his eyes. But you look at his eyes, they're not blue. You know what I mean? How come what it says that Visser has for blue eyes, but he don't have blue eyes? You know what I mean? None of Visser's kids do. You know what I mean? Bridget the Engine don't have blue eyes. Why should they? Visser, you know, Visser's full brother here. Visser occasionally will tell the truth. Most of the time he'll lie. You know, he's not very smart. So why worry about it here? I mean, this show is about pretty well telling what is going on in the movement here. During my, you know,
it's
a movement turn.
Outing and showing the hypocrisy in this movement.
Yeah, well, essentially like critters like Visser. You know what I mean? Visser, when Visser says, I mean, I figured out where Visser goes to 4 weeks or so every, 4 weeks and a day every year. You know, when Visser is talking about how he got his house in order, that means that most of the time he doesn't have his house in order. Bridget the Idiot is allowed to run up to Washington to visit her mother, and her Catholic mother probably castigates her. Well, what did you get out of this, Bridget? All you got was another little mamzer baby here and essentially living in a single wide. Why don't you go ahead and, you know, why are you following a, quote, racist here? What happens is that racist goes ahead and, you know, tries to marry one of my grandchildren to their white family, and they find out he ain't white, and, you know, hey, I'll be out another grandchild. You know what I mean? I mean, essentially, Visser disappears every 4 weeks, and what boils down to is it's the same thing which happened in 2010. Visser probably caused shit when it was time for Bridget the Idiot to go back home to mommy up in South Bend, Washington. And essentially, Bridget the Idiot and mommy had a shit fit, so he ran back to Brooks. He got thrown in jail for 3 weeks. He gets out September 9th, and then what happens September 10th? Okay, I'm facing charges. I'm being released finally on bond. Well, hey, I better go ahead and stop pretending to be a Christian Identity Aryan Nations preacher. And that's what he did.
Now, if I can jump in, because I don't want you to freak out again.
Okay.
I understand, you know, that, you know, let's say nimtards and people who are your enemies make fun of your partner, Roxy. What
yeah.
does Bridget have to do with the movement? Why do you,
Bridget the Idiot, you know, don't understand. She's not quite white. She's whiter than Visser. I mean, if you look at Visser's brother, he's a full-blown mamzer. What Bridget the Idiot was trying to do is, Bridget the Idiot was trying to get her little hooks into $400,000 of Morris Gillette's trust fund while he was in jail. Bridget the Idiot is sort of like a Franken mamzer. To, you know, less of a mamzer, but still a mamzer. I mean, there's no decency in Bridget the Idiot either. I mean, she's just a thieving, worthless piece of shit here. I mean, hey, if she was white, there'd be even more problems with her here. But she ain't white, so, but essentially...
But why? Just because she's married to Visser?
Well,
or is she running her own,
Well, she pretends that she's white. She pretends she's squeezing out white children. I mean, and she does try to steal. She does try to steal on her own hooks. She is, you know, she is a vicious mongrel. She is a vicious mongrel piece of shit herself here. You know what I mean? So therefore, she's fair game. I mean, shoot. What Roxy does is that Roxy doesn't get on the computer. You know what I mean? So it doesn't really matter what you Nimbuster tards say about her. I mean, all you do is reveal what kind of people you are. It doesn't reveal anything about what Roxy is. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But
right.
You know, but trying to.
In her way, excuse me. She must be a special woman in her way. If she stood by you through those 3 years of you being in a mental institution, having been accused of molesting what I guess would be her daughter's child.
Yeah. Well, but then again, she knew it didn't happen. I mean, I think these idiots down here know it didn't happen. They just got a little bit, you know, carried away to where they can do whatever the hell they want to during the Bush administrations. I'm quite sure when essentially I'm making them bite off their own children's testicles or sodomize their own daughters with a broomstick, they'll probably be whining, well, Marty, I didn't even think you were doing it. Well, hey, then you wish to plead guilt. I mean, essentially, you can suffer days and days and days, you and your family, of torture. Or what happens is that you can go ahead and die by going ahead and claiming to be traitors. I mean, you know, generally, you know, you'll probably die quicker, but you'll scream louder. I mean, essentially, I don't want there to be any means of peace here. I want, you know, I see an end here. I see these people in the movement. They all think, you know, be they Edgar Steele or whatever, they sort of think is that somehow, you know, Yahweh will make it a dream here, and they won't have to go ahead and pay the price. They won't have to go ahead and do anything here. What I'm doing my best is to make this great tribulation, you know, bloody and thorough. And if you end up having a fucked up critter like Visser, I mean, you know, I don't want to deal with some, you know, with a new mamzer or a new critter that's smarter than Visser. I like the same old idiotic mamzer criminal, you know, Visser that I got now, that I can pretty well tell is going to do. You know what I mean?
Martin, I just got to jump in here. I've noticed when I'm on the phone with this Magitek thing, I seem to get cut off at around the 1 hour and 30 minute mark.
Okay.
And I'm at 1:26 now. So if I do get cut off, do you want me to call back, or have we...
If you want to call back here, I mean, you're asking a question, I'm giving you an answer. Okay?
Okay, so then if I do, it generally takes a few minutes for me to get back on, and I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm just looking at the clock here, and I know that in the past that's happened. So I just wanted to get that in here. You know, if I die off, it's not because I hung up or anything like that, it's because the phone died.
Well, we've been on there for about 2 hours and 9 minutes here. Why don't we go ahead and take about a 2 minute break? If you get cut off, you get cut off. If you don't, I'll go ahead and you can call back in, okay?
That sounds good.
All right. Folks, we're going to take about a 2 minute break. Hail victory.
I'll grab something to drink, and we'll have a break. And if I'm here when you get back and not cut off, we'll continue.
Okay. Hail victory.
All right. Hail victory.